Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. We titled this two-part study, The Hope of Righteousness by Faith, Galatians 5:5. This is part 2 of 2.
Amen.
They weren't used to that. When their relatives died, it was, you know. Now, is there anything wrong with crying? No, he was crying as he was shouting.
Yes.
But in our tears, we can have joy. Amen. In our sorrow, we can have hope. Mm-hmm. All because our hope is not in this life. It's in eternity. And our hope is eternal life. If you're still there in Colossians 1, verse... Did I get the right text? Colossians 1:28? That's not right.
No.
I got the wrong text. Look that up if you would, Jenny. See what text that is if you can find that. Anyway, read it with us. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's in the Bible, I promise. And we are justified by His grace.
Amen.
And that makes us heirs. Titus 3:7. Makes us heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, our hope is in the eternal. Now, let's establish how we receive this hope. It's by faith. Go back to the text in Galatians 5:5 now. And it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness, which we talked about, by faith.
Amen.
This is the hard part for a lot of us. And it's this. It's not something you can work and earn.
There you go. Amen.
It is basically the result of being truly saved through the Spirit, not through the flesh. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We are saved by faith, which is defined by hope. Did you know that? Faith is defined by hope. What do I mean? Hebrews 11:1.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, substance, hope. Read it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, it's the very fact that you are saved by faith, meaning that your faith is in the work of Jesus Christ that He has accomplished on the cross, shedding His blood, being crucified, buried, and risen again. You have hope. Faith is what gives you hope, and faith is defined by hope.
Amen.
And I'll put this way. If you are not living with your hope in what's to come, and your hope is in the earthly, you really are a stumbling block to those around you.
Amen, brother.
Here's what they'll tell you. They'll say, you're a stumbling block if you're one of these right-wing, fundamental, King James Bible believers out there preaching the gospel and giving out your gospel tract, Brother James. You, people like you push them away. That's exactly what they say. It's people like you that kept me from coming to Christ. My news to them is they ain't come yet.
Amen,
don't tell me you come to Christ. You ain't been there yet.
Amen.
Why? Because those people are in this world. Their hope is rooted here, and that's not biblical faith.
Yeah.
Biblical faith is rooted in the future, the eternal hope of
Amen.
What's to come.
Amen.
And so when they say that to you, the ironic thing is, we talk about this with Pharisees, you know, and they call you a Pharisee. Now, they're the Pharisee. The Pharisee is the one who sticks to, does not want the Word of God. The Pharisee is the one who takes the Bible and says they know better and they add to it. Those of us who stick to the Bible, they'll say, you're like the Pharisees. They were all about the Bible and nothing else. The Pharisees were anti-Bible. They were all about tradition, which is the opinion of men. And so when you talk to these people and they say, well, yeah. That's what they sound like. That's what they sound like to me. No, you are the stumbling block because you are so worldly minded and focused on this world. Your message to the unsaved world is you don't really believe in the eternal.
Amen. That's right. That is exactly right.
You are telling the world, I'm giving you. You have to preach the gospel. but your actions say more than your words. And when the world looks at you and you preach the gospel, but you're all about this flesh, you're contradicting what you're preaching and they're not going to listen.
Amen.
And so if you're all about this world and this life, you are a stumbling block. You're the one who's pushing America away from Jesus right now.
Amen.
It's the materialist, this world focused on riches and health and wealth right now. That's who the world is looking at and saying, that is a crock.
Yep.
I don't want anything to do with it. And that's why when you go talk to them, they think immediately, because that's who's on TV. They think that's who you are. And you have to try to present the real Christian message of the gospel and real Christianity to people who have already judged you based on TBN and Daystar and the Inspiration Network and all the faith healing freaks out there who set up their shows in all the different towns and put it on for money and take all that money and leave town with a bunch of people that they pretended to heal.
Amen, brother.
Hey, if they were real healers, they would have gone to the Children's Hospital, not the Nationwide Arena.
Amen.
And the world has enough brains to know that. Charismatics are stupid, and they don't understand that obvious truth. A charismatic will pay money to a preacher and have them pray for them to be healed, even though they've been doing that for 30 years and not been healed. Their life isn't changed. And if you take the apostles and Jesus, they went up to the sick people and didn't even mention money.
Amen.
And the world has enough sense to know that. But those of us who are heavenly minded and preach the gospel, they're going to hate you for a different reason. They're going to hate you because Paul said we're like a bad odor to them. Because we remind them of the fact that they're dead in sin and that they must be born again.
Amen.
And they don't like that.
No.
So the question is, you know, because some of these people who live for this world, they say, well, we're persecuted, and that's kind of the fingerprint or the thumbprint of God on us. No, you're not persecuted, you're just mocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you get out there and preach the gospel and really preach the truth that Christ died for our sins, you preach that and you confront sinners with their need of salvation, they're going to hate you because you remind them of their need. There's a difference, see? And again, faith produces hope, and that hope is in the bodily resurrection at the rapture. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn there real quick. Faith produces hope. If you're hopeless, it's because you lack faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Get back in the book. Feed on the Word of God. Build your faith in the Word of God. And then the hope that you will receive through the Word of God is in the bodily resurrection at the rapture. And Romans 8, verse 22 begins by saying, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." I mean, you just look at hurricanes, typhoons, and then you look at earthquakes, and you look at tornadoes, and you look at all that. Go to any cemetery you want to and look around, folks. The creation groaneth. But look what it says in verse 23. Read that. "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." That's what it's all about right there.
There you go.
We are doing time. That's what it said in Galatians 5:5. We wait. We're doing time. But we can do it with joy because we know what's coming. We can do it with joy because we know that this is just temporary. And how many of us can really complain? I mean, we've really been blessed beyond anything we deserve.
Amen, dear God. Amen.
I'm not here to say God's just going to leave you hanging out to dry.
No.
Because none of us here could say He did that. Amen?
Yes.
But that's why we are then said to be saved by hope. See? How many of you knew that's in the Bible?
Yep.
I had somebody, I said it to somebody one time. I said, well, we're saved by hope. No. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. No, it says we're saved by hope.
Amen.
Romans 8, 24.
That blessed hope.
Look at verse 24. Read that. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" It's just common sense there. You're saved by hope. Why? Because hope is part of the definition of faith. You're saved by faith, then you're saved by hope. You're saved by faith in the gospel, and that gospel is in a resurrected Jesus who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That's your hope.
Amen.
We're saved by hope. Those with real faith wait, look at that, through the Spirit.
There you go.
That's the key. That's why there are some Christians, I'm not going to take their salvation away from them. Not that I could, but you know what I'm saying? Some people try. They look around and say, "Well, he's saved, but I don't think she is." And Michigan fans, I mean. Now, I know some good saved Michigan fans. Amen? Amen. They get sanctified when they get... But we wait through the Spirit, see? It's not something you can just do. It's not in you. It's in you. Jesus said, "These words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life." It's the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you're in the Word, you believe the Word, you rightly divide the Word, you believe the Word, you're in the Spirit. It's not something... That's what churches all over the world right now are doing. They get together for church and we're going to try to stir up the Spirit. So let's crank it up. Yeah, hit the drums. Oh yeah, come on, Martha, pound those ivories. Oh yeah, let's get the, and let's start running around. Yeah, let's get the blood pumping, the pulse rate. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Say the same thing over and over, over and over. Oh yeah, now let's speak in tongues. Oh, we got the Spirit. We got the...
Can you guys fibromyalgia?
I've been healed. That's not Spirit. That's counterfeit. You're filled with the Spirit when you get filled with the Word of God and you believe it. And you're just sitting there in your chair with the Word of God. And yeah, your hair may stand on end if you got any. And you may feel the goosebumps and all that. But the Spirit is in the Word of God building you, lifting you to that point where you ought to be. And then you wait. The Spirit says, "Oh, I got a home in Glory Land."
Yeah.
It outshines the sun.
Amen.
The flesh says, "I don't need it in heaven. I want it now." Direct quote from Benny Hinn. Not kidding you. Direct quote. That's the difference. The fake Spirit is actually the flesh. This charismania stuff that claims to be the spiritual charismatic renewal and all that, it's not Spirit, it's flesh.
Amen.
Look what it says again. Read verse Galatians 5:5. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." How do you get faith?
Hearing by the Word of God.
You all said the same thing, just didn't sound like it. Amen. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. The true Spirit-filled Christian lives with the hope of the rapture.
Amen.
Amen. That blessed hope, Brother Tom tried to preach earlier. Titus 2:13. Read that. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." There's your hope. That's where it's at. And that's the blessed hope, and don't let anybody take it away from you. Now, they won't all use the same tactic, and they won't all preach the same message to take it from you, but all the ones that are in the flesh will find a way to try to rob you of this hope in the rapture. You go to, what's his name, Rick Warren, purpose-driven. Rick Warren, purpose-driven. You read that book, he says that the end-time Bible prophecy and the second coming is none of your business. Well, he's in the flesh. And Rick Warren serves the Council on Foreign Relations to help them learn how to take over churches and to get preachers to do what they want to do. It's all on video. I'm not making it up. He's actually, functionally done that. He's joined with the Council on Foreign Relations to tell them how to use you. Why? Because he's in the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's the kind of thing you find all over the place. Look at the connection. This is the verse we read. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith."
Mm-hmm.
Looking for that blessed hope. How? Through the Spirit.
Amen.
"And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." the hope of righteousness by faith. See that connection? Ain't that something? Same author. Amen. Spirit-filled Bible believers wait for the blessed hope at the imminent rapture. That means any moment. Any moment. These in the flesh reject the imminent rapture. I'll just give you a couple examples. We're going to close this thing up, but I got to give you some examples. I already mentioned how Rick Warren does it. This is Steven Anderson and guys like his producers, Paul Wittenberg, Chris Maple, Alex Jones, InfoWars, Tex Mars. Also a guy named Mark Dice I'm going to be trying to deal with in a video for a YouTube channel, who are all trying to say that the rapture is not true and that Christians who look for the rapture are just a bunch of cowards who just want to escape. Amen. Call me whatever you want. I do not want to be here when God pours out His wrath.
The rapture simply cannot happen at any moment.
Listen closely. Let me see. Let me give you a little volume here.
The rapture simply cannot happen at any moment.
You didn't believe me, did you? Some of you didn't believe me that preachers are preaching that. Pastor Steven Anderson, yeah. And he's got hundreds of others following him preaching the same garbage.
The rapture simply cannot happen at any moment.
You don't believe me? I'm telling you, there is a great falling away taking place now, and they want to rob... This guy also preaches... This is how confused and messed up you get. He thinks you should take all the homosexuals out and stone them to death. Because he thinks he's Israel.
Yeah.
And if you are, then you should. But you also need a temple and start killing animals.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But he has replaced Israel with his church. And he is teaching that the homosexuals, you know, under the law, are taken out and stoned to death. But here's the crazy thing. He preaches a gospel that says you don't need to change your heart. You just have to have a change of mind about the facts of the gospel. And if you're a sodomite, you don't have to stop sodomizing. If you're a thief or a liar or a murderer, has nothing to do with it. Just believe the facts of the gospel. Now, the truth is kind of in the middle there. Because the truth is, you may not perform perfectly, but you have a change of heart when you get saved.
Amen.
And I'm not saying a Christian will never murder. Or a sodomite gets saved and he'll never commit that sin ever again. But the difference is between wanting to do it, marching in pride parades and calling yourself a gay Christian, compared to being saved and having a change of heart and then making the wrong choice and committing the sin and God dealing with you as with a son.
Yeah.
And today's Christian is too stupid to get that difference.
Yep.
They are spiritually stupid. It's not ignorance. Ignorance is something you can't really help a lot of times. You don't know yet. Stupidity is foolishness. You've chosen to reject the truth. Here's another example that just came out recently. This guy named Joseph Schimmel, endorsed by Jacob Prash and Joel Richardson. It's a movie called Left Behind or Led Astray.
To say that the world is in a state of shock this morning would be to understate the situation. Suddenly and without warning, literally thousands, perhaps millions of people just disappeared.
What if the end of the world really isn't as so many have portrayed it? What if the church is not raptured to heaven before the Great Tribulation, as many are teaching? Good Fight Ministries presents Left Behind or Led Astray. Examining the origins of the secret pre-tribulation rapture. To pre-order this new eye-popping video expose, go to leftbehindorledastray.com and brace yourself to see how the church is being set up for a mass deception of cosmic proportions.
Wow. See?
You better get your Bible out for this one.
You better get your Bible out for this one. You better be a King James. You better be saved. You better rightly divide it. Amen? That's just two examples. We got only so much time. I can only show you enough to give you the idea.
Does Joe reject dispensationalism?
I believe so.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure what his version of it is. He may be dispensational post-trib, which some of them claim to be. But they have to put the church in the time of Jacob's trouble, and they have to reject the idea. Here's the point. It's a sign of the times. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, one tactic or another, doesn't matter. They're trying to make you totally dismiss the imminent rapture.
Yep.
They don't want you to believe that today Jesus could come back. And what's perverted about this, what makes this so perverted, is that all of these teachers will tell you that those who believe in the imminent rapture don't care about anything. We're just living it up. And because we don't have to worry about anything. That's how they present it. That's the opposite of the truth. If you really believe this is the day Jesus may return, you care about making the most of what little time you have left.
Amen.
And if you look at the movement of God over the last 150 years, there are two things they have in common besides the fact they preach the true gospel. And they preach that true gospel, calling sinners to repent and believe the gospel and be saved. But also, they used the King James Bible. And number two, they believed in the imminent rapture.
Amen.
Just read your history and you'll see that. Over the last 150 years, the great missionary move throughout the world is dying because the hope is dying.
Yeah.
What was once covering the earth with the preaching of the gospel, even the charismaniacs on TBN used to preach. Can you believe that? They had token preachers of the gospel on their channel, and when Paul died, that reprobate Jan just kicked them all off. She kicked off Adrian Rogers, and all the guys that were preaching the gospel kicked them off. So they're all just money, money, money all the time. Why? Because Jan and her son have junked the preacher of rapture.
Amen.
It's a direct connection. It's no accident. Once you reject the imminent rapture of the church, then you throw off the heavenly and you become all about the flesh. And as we see this continue, throwing off the imminent rapture, throwing off the infallibility of the King James Bible, and then they corrupt the gospel, and you got nothing left but apostasy.
Yep.
This message is to you only. I can't change the world, you can't change the world, but you can stick to the book.
Amen.
You can preach the true gospel.
Amen.
And you can look for Jesus at any moment.
Amen.
I just want to give you one clear example. This happened this week to me personally. This was a response to our imminent rapture video on YouTube 2 days ago. Quote, no, people have been talking about the rapture and warning of the second coming since biblical times. It's not going to happen.
Wow.
I responded with what we just read. I said, do you even realize that the Bible predicted that as we approach the time of the rapture, people like you would say exactly what you just said?
That's right.
Yeah. You're seeing a fulfillment of prophecy in the very rejection of the rapture. The preacher of rapture. For through the Spirit, here's, you go out the door today, you wait for the hope.
Amen.
Of righteousness by faith. That's where you go out the door right now. That should describe you right now.
Amen.
You should walk out of there and look up just to check.
Amen.
I mean, I know technically the rapture is going to happen so quick we won't know what happened, but I can't help myself. You ever driving down the road and the sun rays come through the clouds just right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I wake up in the morning and I think, not every morning, I'm not Mr. Holiness, holier now, but there are mornings, and I wake up and I think, oh, wow, this could be the day. This could be the day. How many of you remember the old Martha, you know what I'm talking about, the radio Bible class.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
It was a fellow, was M.R. DeHaan.
Yep.
When he died on his tombstone, he had the words, perhaps today.
Amen.
So that everyone who ever visits his tomb aren't going to think about him. They're going to be thinking, what? What's that mean?
Amen.
And there have been people who said that they've had other people with them and gone to that gravestone and seen that perhaps today. And it opened up a conversation. They were able to share the gospel. And there have been people saved standing right there at his tomb. He's still leading people to Jesus. And he's doing it by saying, any moment.
Amen.
Any moment. That's what's so, again, perverted about these liars. If you will just go out of here waiting for the hope, every day thinking of that this could be the day Jesus returns,
Amen.
It has a purifying effect. There's so many scriptures we couldn't get to this morning. But the Bible says this hope purifies those who
Amen.
Believe it. You have a purification process just by believing this could be the last day before you're taken. And you're going to be thinking, well, I want to do my job because there is a possibility I have to come here tomorrow. But in the midst of doing my job well, I want to live for the Lord. I want to watch for opportunities to share the gospel. Where's my tracks?
Amen.
How many of you had that moment?
Yeah.
Good. You should have it every day. Where's my tracks?
Amen.
If you're like me, sometimes you're like, oh!
Yeah.
And you're like, should I turn around? Amen. But that's the attitude. Where's my tracks? Why? Because this could be the last day I get a chance to tell the Tim Hortons dude
Amen.
About
right.
Jesus.
That's right.
Or McDonald's or wherever you go. I'm just saying I don't want to endorse just one. It could be, you know, halal meats. Go in there. Amen. Put it right on top of the bacon. Oh, they don't have bacon in there, do they? No pig. Beef. Yeah, Tom? Amen.
All these other guys, they're going to disqualify themselves from receiving that.
Absolutely. Amen. 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 Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Right. Won't you stand and let's close the prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be saved. Thankful for what Jesus has done to save us, and that even the repentance that changes our heart to receive the truth of the gospel is given by you as we receive your word as the word of God and not as the word of men. I pray everyone here this morning receive the word of God as the word of God, believing every word of it, appropriating it in our lives, Lord, by the help of your Spirit. And Lord, may we wake up every day, even if we have to put sticky notes on our mirrors to remind us that this may be the last day. And Lord, we just love you. Can't wait to see you. And may everyone in this room walk out of here with that right attitude and going out just to be used by you in whatever way you see fit for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name.
Bless me.
The Lord bless me.
And keep me.
Gracious
unto thee,
the Lord lift up
his countenance.